Blog Talk Radio.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too. If you didn't know the pain of life, wouldn't know the joy.
Atlanta Life Radio presents There Is Life After Layoff. Join our conversation with our host, Allie, as she shares her journey of self-discovery and empowerment after being laid off. The opinions expressed on this radio program are for discussion or inspirational purposes only. They do not serve as treatment or as a professional diagnosis. All listeners are advised that neither the host or Web Talk Radio agent shall be held liable for the content of programs, including advice given. All listeners are advised to make their own decisions based upon receiving appropriate consultation with a licensed professional and who have been given the opportunity to consider completely each listener's circumstances and not in reliance upon the content of this Web Talk Radio program. Now, as we say each and every week, grab your journal, a piece of paper, and a pen, and join us and jot down notes as you share the journey with us. Now join me in a virtual applause as I welcome our show host, Allie. Allie?
Hello, and welcome to the next episode of There Is Life After Layoff Radio. I'm Allie, your host, and along with my co-host, Minister Dr. Regina Ward, the founder of Elite Psychological Services and who is a licensed professional counselor specializing in anxiety, adjustment, and depressive disorders. It is always our pleasure to be your guide as I take this journey of self-discovery and empowerment after recently being laid off, and as Doc affirms normalcy of feelings while offering you practical solutions. Now, please join in on the conversation with us every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. through the Atlanta Life Radio website at www.atlantaliferadio.com. And you can also follow my blog at www.thereislifeafterlayoff.com. And if you wish to contact us, you can still do so via email at thereislifeafterlayoff@gmail.com. And I'm still tweeting, so you can follow me on Twitter at AllieWard45. And also Atlanta Life Radio is tweeting at ALR Radio. And on behalf of Doc and myself, we thank you for listening and for joining us once again as we share with you our insights into the experience of being laid off. Now, at this time, I want to take the opportunity to say on behalf of myself, and I'm sure that Mel D, our executive producer, will also join me in congratulating our very own Doc on her recent nuptials this past weekend to Mr. Terry Porter. Words cannot express how happy I am for you, and I wish you and Terry many blessings and love for this new season in your lives. And so, in light of this blessed event, Doc is taking some time to enjoy her new husband, and rightfully so. And so, you know, we had actually planned to air a pre-recorded show that Doc and I had prepared for you ahead of time, but as you all probably have known from the start of this journey, we have come to know and accept here at There Is Life After Layoff Radio and in life that sometimes God will take us in a new direction. Well, tonight is one of those nights, and so as God leads us, Mel D and I will keep it moving. Right, Mel D?
Yes, Allie, and I want to join you in congratulating Doc on her marriage. I saw a photo, and she was a beautiful bride, and I just wish her and her new husband a lifetime of happiness. It's so well-deserved.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mel D. So once again, before we get ready to jump into tonight's conversation, as always, I must remind those of you who may be listening for the first time or who may be calling in for the first time that we are here to use this forum as a way to uplift, as a way to empower, and hopefully inspire those of you who have been affected by a layoff. And we are certainly not here to complain or ridicule or point fingers at our former employers or colleagues or any individuals. And we are definitely not here to feel sorry for ourselves. We are here so I can share with you my journey of rediscovery and empowerment, but most of all, Doc and I are here to serve the community and to give you a voice by offering you an opportunity to share your story. But before we get started with the heart of tonight's conversation, there are always a few reminders. Now, if you've happened to miss a particular episode of There Is Life After Layoff Radio, we continue to encourage you to please listen to it through the ALR website at www.atlantaliferadio.com, and we've made it so convenient and easy for you to listen to those past episodes because we do have an automatic player box on the programming page. So you just access the website, simply click on the show that you want to listen to, and it will start playing for you automatically. However, if you have trouble with the automatic player, we still have the individual links to each episode out there available as well. But the most important thing is that we are now on iTunes, and that is so convenient because you can upload it to your mobile device, take it with you, put your earphones in, and just enjoy whatever show you may have missed. You can upload the podcast by searching Atlanta Life Radio. And all of our past episodes are available for you to listen to at this time. And then tonight's episode will be available for you to listen to about an hour or so after it airs. So please, please take full advantage of that. Now, we all know that summer is upon us. And if you've been tuning in weekly, you may have heard me make an announcement regarding our upcoming There Is Life After Layoff summer series. And I've asked you to please stay tuned regarding our show topics. Now, in keeping with that, please mark your calendars for our Tuesday, July 2nd episode, which will feature summer food fun. Now, the show will be focused on providing you with fun summer food ideas as well as providing you with grilling tips so that we can make sure that you are ready for the grilling season. Now, in addition to that, we want to also bring to your attention a serious issue that affects our children during the summer months. Do you know that according to the USDA, their statistics, which is the United States Department of Agriculture, that 16.2 million children in America struggle with hunger? Now, only 1 in 7 children who get free or reduced price lunches during the school year get a summer free meal as well, which means that 6 out of 7 go without during the summer. Now, why is this important? Because children who struggle with hunger are more vulnerable to obesity and its harmful health consequences as children and as adults. Now, studies also show that poverty and unemployment are the root causes of hunger. Now, for this reason and many others, we want to spend some time talking about this issue and how you can get involved with the Summer Food Service Program in your community, as well as provide you with resources on how to locate a program near you. So please plan to join us for that very important show. And we also want to remind you about our upcoming episode honoring Father's Day, which is scheduled to air on June 18th. So this is a reminder, everybody, get your Father's Day cards now because Father's Day is coming up this Sunday on June 16th. And I think sometimes Dad kind of gets the short end of the stick when it comes to the celebrating Father's Day. So please, this is a reminder for you. On that particular show, I will be joined by a special co-host who will help me pay honor to our fathers and to talk about the effects that a layoff can have on the men in our lives. And, you know, who better to address those issues that affect men than another man, right? So, you know, I have come to understand throughout the years that, and I know that I cannot teach my son what he needs to know about being a man. So guess what? I have left that job up to my husband. So it is with that same mindset that we all agreed here at There Is Life After Layoff that we should have a man to help us to discuss issues dealing with men. So with that said, If you have been tuning in to There Is Life After Layoff on a regular basis, then you may be familiar with one of our regular callers who we have respectfully given the name Brother Past. Now, for those of you who have been tuning in weekly and have had the opportunity to hear some of the knowledge and the wisdom that our brother so lovingly shares with us from time to time, then I am sure that you won't want to miss that particular episode because he has truly blessed us here at There Is Life After Layoff Radio. And at the same time, we will be welcoming your call so that you can wish your dad a happy Father's Day. So please mark your calendars for Tuesday, June 18th. Now that we have all the housekeeping out the way, it is now time to move forward into tonight's discussion about dealing with feelings of rejection in our lives. Now, as always, before we actually get into the heart of the discussion, I want to take a moment and define rejection, because I always want to make sure that we are all on the same page when it comes to our subject matter. So what exactly is rejection, and why does it hurt? Okay, rejection can be defined as, and I quote, to refuse, throw away as having no value, not to use or notice. And it is also defined as the absence of acceptance of others towards another person. And I know that we are all familiar with these definitions of rejection in our lives. And I think that we will all agree that from time to time we have experienced feelings of rejection. Now, rejection hurts because it is looked upon as a value issue. So when I say that, I mean, in other words, when we are rejected, we feel like what we have to offer as a person has in some way been appraised and rejected as having no value, okay? So this can then lead us to experiencing a variety of very unpleasant emotions such as anger, wrath, revengeful thinking, confusion, sadness, and then, of course, grief. So while preparing for this show, Doc and I actually had a discussion about rejection and dealing with it in our lives. And she confirmed for me from her professional opinion as a professional licensed professional counselor that feelings of rejection can ultimately also lead to depression. So I'm going to take pause here and add a footnote, because I know Doc would say make this statement, and she would advise our listeners that if you think or feel that you are experiencing signs or symptoms of depression, that you please seek help from a licensed professional, okay? So what oftentimes also happens is that a person will start to question their own self-worth, which leads to thinking or wondering, okay, what did I do that was wrong? The end result is that you are left with your self-esteem in a mess, okay? And I can honestly say that the roots of rejection began to grow and manifest in my own life from a very young age. And I've shared my testimony with you several times when, as a child, I was teased and bullied. And this is long before bullying was even relevant. I was bullied by my peers because I didn't look like what they thought I should look like, or actually it was because of their insecurities and how I looked that they decided to pick on me. So for years, being rejected as a child resulted in my ultimately feeling ashamed of who I was, and it was all because of how I looked, which then in turn led me to being somewhat of a people pleaser, okay, because I was looking for acceptance. However, I have to say that there was a positive outcome of my wanting to be a people pleaser and for seeking acceptance from others, because that in junior high school was the fact that I discovered that I actually loved running and participating in sports. So not only did I did like the physical challenge that it presented me and that it gave me, but also my participation in sports was one way that I was able to obtain acceptance and accolades from others, okay? So, of course, although I was getting acceptance in this way, which for the moment, only for the moment now, may have made me feel good about myself. How many of you know that I was still not dealing with the root cause of the rejection that I felt in my life? Okay. And it's funny because just recently I heard a psychologist say that because people don't deal with their issues while they are children, people then oftentimes grow up sabotaging their own lives as adults. And when I heard that, a bell went off in my head because it made so much sense to me. And I saw how I have been guilty of that, okay? And I think that's largely because, you know, we just didn't know. And it was also a sign of the times because back when I grew up, we just didn't talk about a lot of family issues. A lot of things were just kind of ignored or swept under the rug, so to speak. It's not as it wasn't as open as it is now. So now, as I got older, because I didn't deal with the root of why I felt rejected as a child, this has what led to my making bad choices in terms of adult relationships, which then, of course, resulted in more and more rejection. So it's just like this vicious cycle that we go through. So when I think back, I can remember that during the times that I experienced relationship rejection, I would walk away from these situations feeling as if there was something wrong with me and that I was the problem. Okay, and I think that women, and I think, Mel D, you might agree with this, that as women in general, we have a tendency to do this because most of us will have to admit that we have this overwhelming fear of being alone, which then results in oftentimes allowing ourselves to settle for less than what we actually deserve in terms of relationships, or I guess I should say in terms of the people that we get involved in these relationships with. Okay.
Allie, you make a really good point, you know, and as I thought about rejection in my own life, the first thing that popped up was back in high school when I liked this boy. And he was the cutest boy. and I was considered, you know how in high school you had the girls who put out and then you had the good girls.
Right, right.
And
right.
All the boys who were fine, the athletes, they always had the girls who would put out around them.
Mm,
and
wow.
Then here's the group of the good girls who kind of just are looking from the outside in.
Mm.
And this particular young man, he never really talked to me. He just said hi a couple of times. But from afar, I just knew he needed to be my boyfriend.
Oh, wow.
And it was so funny because I necessarily wasn't rejected by him because we really never had a dialogue. But I was rejected by the girls that surrounded him who will say bully, because now that I think about it, it is a form of bullying, but they made me feel that I wasn't good enough to be in their circle.
Oh, wow.
And by not being in their circle, there's no way that he would like me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so interesting how those early, early experiences of rejection and by whom, it could be from an individual or from a group, how
exactly.
It really starts shaping your life, because I think I came out of it thinking, oh, in order to really get the best looking boy on campus or whatever in colleges, you got to put out, you got to have sex with him. And I've come to learn that that wasn't true, but I came out of high school thinking that. So,
wow.
You know.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes.
And it's funny because now I'm going to take it a step further. Not only did, you know, in terms of relationships, we oftentimes experience rejection, but also in friendships, okay? Now, you've heard me talk about an old high school friend who had asked me to work for her, and she pretty much, you know, somehow the winds changed in our relationship and our friendship, and she started to mistreat and humiliate me, which ultimately resulted in my having to resign from that particular job. Well, another example of how I experienced rejection in a friendship was when I was in college now. It was during my freshman year when I was fortunate enough to get a roommate that I actually liked, okay? And that's unheard of a lot of times. And this was a person whom I had a lot in common with, and it was to the point where people actually said that we looked like sisters, okay? I mean, we hung around with each other. We really, really got along great, and we took some of the same classes. We joined some of the same clubs and activities. We double dated, et cetera. I mean, we were really, really close. And I can remember, though, that after one of the particular holiday breaks when we all went home and then we returned back to school, some kind of way that friendship took a different turn, and there was just something different about it, okay? Now, mind you, at the time, it didn't dawn on me that I may have been smothering her with my friendship, okay? I didn't see that at the time, but all I knew was that I didn't have the same friend that, you know, I went home thinking that I had and then returned back to school. She was different in some kind of way. Now, that was very painful for me because, I like I said, we had become so close. But what happened was that my focus then shifted back onto my books, and as a result of that, I was able to accomplish graduating with honors. So then when I really gave this particular situation some thought, I realized that God was shifting the atmosphere for my good, okay? And he has done that, you know, repeatedly through my life, but I haven't always seen it or even paid attention to it until I've ended up being rejected and hurt, okay? So that goes along with, and we've talked about this in other on other episodes where we have to realize there are people that come into our lives for a reason and a season. And I realize now when I thought about it, I remember how homesick I was that first semester. That was the longest I had ever been away from home. And I believe that God sent her as a comfort level for me to get me acclimated into the college life so that I wouldn't be homesick. So she served that purpose, but then her season was up, and I needed to make my own way and be an individual instead of being relying on her. So I have come to know that, you know, God will oftentimes mature us through those tests and those trials. And in doing so, guess what? He has allowed me to see rejection in a whole nother light. He has shown me how to learn, how to, guess what? I learned to finally separate the person from the opinion. And that is just because, you know, and some of you may agree that if somebody did not agree with my opinion or if they offered me constructive criticism, then I took it as rejection, but then now I've finally come to realize that they're not actually rejecting me. Okay, so he has allowed me to learn that lesson through those trials. So ultimately,
Allie, can I ask you something, though? Because I find this to be so interesting. You know, at the moment you feel rejected, you know, you're taking things in so personally, and really the person who you're feeling rejected by may not even have a clue that you're feeling that way or that their words are piercing you in the spectrum of feeling rejected. So it's quite interesting how the human relation and the dynamics between the person who is imposing the rejection, whether or not they really are aware that they're making you feel that way.
Absolutely. And you know, during the time, in the heat of the moment, I should say, you know, we don't see it because here we go, that human side of us, you know, takes over, that emotional side, that flesh response kind of takes over. And so, you know, all you see is that, okay, they're rejecting me, you know. And so that goes along with also the fact that you have to, if you really don't want that person's honest opinion, then you don't need to be asking for it.
Yeah, those things that made you sorry what you asked for.
exactly, because if you can't take it and if it's not in agreement with what you think it should be, you know, then you have to learn how to understand, okay, everybody has their opinion, but don't take it as a personal attack, okay? So that was a life lesson for me. And I've also learned to look at rejection as, you know, in one particular area of my life, just because I'm being rejected in that area can oftentimes be God's way of redirecting me, okay, to follow another direction or path for my life, which more times than not will end up being a better path, okay? So with that said, the question is now, can you recover from the pain of rejection? And if so, how? The answer is yes, absolutely. And fortunately for us, it is possible for us to recover from feelings of rejection. So you have to understand and know that we are all subject to being rejected from time to time. I don't know one person who hasn't been rejected in their life, okay? You just have to know that if others have survived it, then so can you, okay? And rejection can be a great teacher in our lives because it can teach us to be careful. Now, this is really key. It can teach us to be careful about placing our own value, guess what, into the hands of other people. That is so key to me, all right? Now, in other words, don't expect others to value you the same way that you value yourself. And personally,
say that again, Allie. That's a very good point.
Rejection is a great teacher because it teaches us how to be careful about placing our own value into the hands of other people. So, in other words, don't expect others to value you the same way that you value yourself, okay? And this was, for me, personally, was a hard lesson for me to learn, but I finally came to the realization that, and it was one way that I learned how to get past my own feelings of rejection. So God has allowed me to open up my eyes and to see my true value as his child. And the fact that he loves me even more than I sometimes love myself. And I also take comfort, okay, in the words that Jesus spoke to his disciples when he told them that, guess what? I will never leave you nor forsake you. And his disciples, they rejected him. We all know the story, okay? They betrayed him and they did reject him. But Jesus' words to them was that he would never leave them nor forsake them, which tells me that he will not reject me, even when I fall short. Okay? It's not easy, and I have to make a conscious choice to work hard and not relying on people for acceptance, but only to live my life every day, seeking to put a smile on God's face. Okay? So as we wind down to take a station break, Mel D and I encourage you to call us tonight to join in on the conversation. And you can reach us at 347-324-5246. Make sure that you press the number 1 to be added into the on-air lineup in our host queue. You are listening to There Is Life After Layoff Radio, and I'm your host, Allie, and Mel D and I will be back. So please stay tuned.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too. If you didn't know the pain of life, wouldn't know the joy of life and how brings you through.
If you are just tuning in, you are listening to Atlanta Life Radio Presents There Is Life After Layoff with our host, Allie. I want to take a minute and thank each and every listener for tuning in each and every week, and also for our sponsors for helping to support this program so that we can bring it to our listeners each and every week. And if anyone is interested in becoming a sponsor, they can contact me at mdavis@atlantaliferadio.com. And now we do have callers calling in, so now we're going to tune back into our program with Allie. Allie?
We are back, and if you are just joining us, welcome. And as Mel D said, you are listening to There Is Life After Layoff Radio at www.atlantaliferadio.com. And I'm your host, Allie. And along with my regular co-host, Doc, who happens to be off tonight, we ask that you please join us every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. And you can also follow me on my blog at www.thereislifeafterlayoff.com. And we are on Twitter. You can follow me at AllieWard45, and Atlanta Life Radio can be found tweeting at ALR Radio. So please follow us. And it is one of our favorite times in this show where we start to take calls from our listeners. Mel D, do we happen to have any callers in the queue tonight?
Yes, we have one person who has been very, very patient in holding, but they are now on air. If your number ends in 6576, you are now on air with Allie.
Hi, Allie. This is Tanjay.
Hey, Tanjay. How are you?
I'm great. How are you this evening?
I'm blessed. Thank you for calling in.
I've been listening, and you're correct. Rejection is a very good topic that you use. And with that being said, when you're listening to rejection, and I'm going to piggyback on what you're saying, it is a family discussion that never comes up.
Right.
It is
absolutely
something that, you know how when you come home, you want to talk to your parents about, okay, this hurt me, but they don't realize it's not a hurt. It's a rejection, and it starts at the root of the home.
Right.
Because as you develop as a youth, an adult, a teenager, you're going to have different phases. What you're saying, again, what you said is a time and a season for everything.
Right, right.
Will become a season for that because, like you said, I remember because I'm a plus-size person. So,
okay.
You know, growing up, I'm here to tell my age. In the 80s. And I don't mind. I'm 40. I'm 42.
Okay.
And growing up in that era, you know, in that time of the 80s, guys like girls who was, I call, size 18. So when you're a plus-size girl growing up and you have this rejection and you can't go home to talk to anyone because, oh, you're just getting through. That's just somebody, little kids picking at you. Like you said, the bullying part.
Right, right.
But if you have that, it can help you grow into life that as you go over each hurdle of rejection, you will be able to analyze it and be able to address it in a way to say, okay, you know what? It won't lead to depression. It won't lead to suicide because our words can hurt the next person because even with our words to say that person, you know what, that dress don't fit you or that outfit don't fit you. That's a rejection, but we don't know how that person felt to the point they may go home and commit suicide.
That's right. That's right.
You know, so when we have to be look at rejection as a person being rejected, we got to look at our words rejecting the next person.
Absolutely. You are so correct by that, and that's something that I oftentimes would tell my former colleagues in dealing with the customers that we dealt with from a day-to-day basis. You know, you just really don't know what headspace somebody's in.
Right.
And, you know, how you respond to them and how you choose to respond to them and your demeanor, you don't know what you might be setting off. And you don't know what has gone on before they even, you know, appeared at your window or you know, coming to you for help or what have you. So, you know, you have to be real careful. And,
right.
You know, at growing up, you know, as I stated in my testimony, you know, about being bullied, and I really believe, although it was something that I really didn't talk about a whole lot at home because, like I said, it was a sign of the times.
Right.
It was just something that just family just didn't discuss, I guess. Like you said, they just, oh, that's just kids, you know, kids being kids, what have you. I have to honestly say, though, because I did have the love of my family, that's really what, that was my saving grace. During that time, because, you know, I did have parents who loved me. I had siblings, although we fought like siblings often do. They still loved me. And we also had a very close-knit extended family that I felt love from. So although, you know, my peers and my classmates may have not understood, and a lot of it was because they were so insecure in who they were, that they did not accept me, and they decided that, okay, well, if I don't feel good about myself, let me see if I can make somebody else feel bad. So, you know, I was the target of choice from time to time, you know. And, you know, it's sad, but, and you, we as parents now, and especially I know my husband and I's responsibility is to make sure that our children don't ever make somebody feel that way.
Right. And I do the same thing with my children. I always tell them, you don't know what that person has gone through before they got there to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know what they're going back to.
Exactly. Absolutely.
And I try to teach, my kids, your home life may not be like somebody else's home life. And I like to teach them about rejection. I told them rejection is sometimes a good thing and sometimes it's a bad thing. And the reason I use it that way, because sometimes a rejection gives you time enough to analyze yourself to see how did you fit in this situation to cause whatever conflict that came about.
Right.
And sometimes it can be in a negative way because you didn't do anything. It's just like you said, an insecurity. We all have that sense of insecurity in our lives because that's just life.
Right. Right.
And you
absolutely
just have to learn how to balance the insecurity with the security.
Exactly.
And with rejection, it's the same way. But we have made it a stronghold, and that's what I love your word, and I think that should be the word. That should be the word of the year, stronghold. Because stronghold is every, it's the umbrella to everything.
Right. Absolutely. And you know what? I am so glad and so thankful that we have a God that loves us more than we love ourselves and will stop us in our tracks and then let us experience rejection because he's protecting us.
Yes, and I love it because when we experience rejection, I call it the bump in the road.
That's good. That's
thanks
absolutely
for that
good
bump in the road.
Exactly.
Because if he continued to let me go, I would never got over that. I wouldn't just stood there, or I would have just waddled in it. So I love the bump in the road sometimes. We need the bump in the road because sometimes we can get so full of ourselves, we forget who we are.
Absolutely. Wow. Thank you so much, Tanjay, for calling in. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Have a blessed evening.
You too.
Mel D., do we have any other callers in the queue?
Not right now. We have a lot of listeners, which we're thankful for. But, you know, as you were talking to that caller, I immediately thought about how rejection is just so in your face these days. And I'm talking more so about these television reality shows. I'm talking about the American Idol. I'm talking about what's the other show that The X Factor. If you recall, some of the younger participants in that show were really distraught when they did not make the cut. And I often thought, wow, are there parents behind stage to be there for them, or is there someone who can talk them through that rejection? Because at that moment, it's not rejection that, no, you're not a good singer, you know, you should never try this again. It's just this is not the right time for you. And I just often wonder if there are psychologists, if there are people there to help people through that rejection, because not only was you rejected, you were rejected publicly.
Right. Absolutely.
On national television.
Absolutely.
So it's so interesting now how even with social media, all the things that we're doing now, we're really bringing rejection to the forefront. And I'm just thankful that we're handling the topic today because we really need to put it in perspective. And I love the caller's reference to strongholds because we need to understand what these strongholds are and how to deal with them in everyday life.
And it's so funny, you bring up a valid point about those shows. I know you're familiar with the Bible series that just aired on the History Channel. Mark Burnett and Roma Downey, who are, you know, they're married, they were the ones who actually produced it. Well, Mark Burnett is also the producer of the show The Voice.
Yes.
Now, he was talking about the fact that he decided to create this program to showcase new talent in a positive way, to give them constructive criticism rather than the tearing down that these other programs actually provided, you know, as part of entertainment. And, you know, I thought that was very interesting, and that said a lot to me about his character as a person and as a man of God, that he felt the need to, okay, you know what, I need to do something about this because, yes, I want to help these young up-and-coming entertainers, but I want to do it in a positive and constructive way. And it's so sad that a lot of these programs are popular because people really like seeing other people miserable.
And that's a part that we really have to work on, where as the American public or just, you know, people of God, we can't enjoy seeing public humiliation and rejection. We should do all that we can to uplift people and understand that words, remember that old adage, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Your parents told you that for a reason, because they wanted you to cushion yourself against these type of rejections with words. And words are cruel. They can really destroy someone. And
absolutely,
a lot of people do not understand the power of the words that they speak onto and into other people. And, again, I just wanted to stress, I love the word stronghold, because we just need to awaken people to understand, you know, you need to really identify and learn how to prepare yourself for life and all these, because rejection is a part of life. But
absolutely,
as you stated in the beginning, it's how you value yourself. So it's how you're going to cushion yourself against these words that are going to come to you that may hurt you for a minute, but don't let it penetrate your soul and who you believe who you are, where it deepens and it cripples you.
Absolutely. Now, I think at this time there were some questions that I think you and I want to engage ourselves in conversation. Did you have anything that you wanted to address to me about the subject matter tonight?
Well, I think one question that I think our listeners will really benefit from is, because we're talking about, you know, how you take in rejection and how you work with it, what message did you begin telling yourself because you were rejected?
Well, and I think I made reference to this at the top of the show, where, you know, I really started feeling that something was wrong with me, that it was my fault somehow. And I had to realize that oftentimes it was in dealing with relationships with, you know, guys I may have been dating or whatever. And then, you know, because I wanted to say that I had somebody, when you look at it, I didn't have anybody, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I thought I did, but you know, you, like we tend to do sometimes, you know, we make the same bad choices in men, and they all have similar traits, and we keep repeating it till we finally get it. And the message that I got finally was that, you know what, I was sick and tired of it. I was sick and tired of it, and I will take this moment to kind of share a situation that really made me say, okay, you know what, enough is enough. And it goes back to a situation. I was dating this guy, and he was a nice guy, and we had been dating for some months or what have you, and I had even met his family, whatever. Well, guess what? I found out, by accident, mind you, that he got married.
Wow.
While we were still dating.
Okay.
How is that for a slap in the face, right?
Oh,
rejection.
Boy.
And how I found out was because during the time I was actually participating as a competitive bodybuilder, and I was at the gym, and I was in the locker room, and I was talking about so-and-so and I were going to go out, da-da-da-da, and somebody, another of the girl bodybuilders, overheard me talking, and she had actually gone to the wedding, okay? And she felt so bad. Now, she was a Christian, and she said, you know what? She took me to the side, and she said, Alicia, I just cannot allow you not to know this, but did you know that so-and-so got married this past weekend? Now, you know, hey, when I tell you, my face hit the floor, and I was shocked because he told me that he was on a business trip.
Wow.
Okay.
Amazing.
Now, here's how it gets really interesting and funny, because even after this gentleman came back, and he wasn't on a business trip because he was on his honeymoon. And he came to the gym, and I saw him. He still denied it in my face, okay? But you know what? At that point, a bell went off in my head that, you know, God said enough. And I, you know, initially I was really, really angry. I mean, when I tell you I was boiling mad because I felt like I didn't deserve that. And my thing was, at least you could have done was told me, you know. Instead, you had me walking around looking stupid in front of everybody else. All these people knew, and I didn't know. And I was the last to find out. And, you know, I really was hurt by that because, I thought we were in a good relationship. Well, he had other ideas about that. But I walked away from that, and I just said, you know what, okay, enough. But it's funny because probably 2 or 3 weeks later, even though he denied it, he realized that he was wrong, and he actually came back and wanted to apologize. I'm like, you know what, you got 2 minutes, and then I'm done. I was done.
Yes.
It was enough, and then I finally, that was a turning point in my life, because then I finally got to a point where, okay, I have to really stop this vicious cycle, and, you know, I'd rather be by myself and to myself, you know. But, you know, it's in those times that God shows us and teaches us these lessons. And
right.
I have to say that there were some other signs, and I think we've made reference to this in other shows, where he will beat us over the head with all these red flags, and we'll explain it away.
Mm.
And we'll make excuses to say that it's okay. And then, you know, we're doing ourselves a disservice.
Right.
You know,
wow.
But it's not until we actually take a look at ourselves in the mirror and we're willing to step on our own toes that we start to really get what God is trying to show us.
Wow.
And, you know, that was just, that was an interesting situation, but.
Wow. So you learned from that.
Absolutely,
and,
yes.
And, you know, as we talk about the different types of rejection, I mean, just being laid off from your job is an ultimate rejection.
Mm-hmm.
But what advice can you give our listeners who might have faced or are currently facing rejection?
First and foremost, at the top of my list, know that you are a child of God, okay? I wake up every day. I drop to my knees, and I literally say, God, thank you, first of all, for allowing me to see another day, because it is a blessing. But how can I die to self and serve you and serve others? I say that every day. But that's a choice that I've made, because I know that this journey that he has me on, and I know this is a journey that he set my feet on, this path, I can't do it serving myself. I have to seek ways that I can serve him and put a smile on his face. Believe and understand what he says about you. You know, that means studying your word, you know, getting into it, you know, join a Bible study group, you know, don't belong to a church home that where you feel comfortable and you're being fed spiritually, do that. Go where you're going to be supported by other people who have the same mindset. Okay, and I have to say that the ministry that I follow of Lifestyle Christian Church is one that has really blessed my life, because it actually started me thinking, and if you recall, I mentioned in a previous show that I started praying for God to show me my purpose months before I got laid off, but this was something that we had been dealing with through that particular ministry. And about living a lifestyle serving Christ and not just serving yourself. And so I have to really give credit where credit is due, because I don't know that I would have been able to carry this journey through had I not started thinking in terms of serving God, you know, with my life instead of being self-serving. So, you know, you really have to understand and know who you are in Christ Jesus. Ask him, pray till you can't pray anymore, because prayer does work. And I'm a firm believer in it. And he will listen. And I believe it's because he sees that I'm really diligently seeking him in all areas of my life. Now, I'm not saying, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I am not perfect by any means, okay? But I am making an effort in my journey to serve him and to serve others through what he has given me. And he has given me a blessing through this journey. You know, I have never really been as fulfilled as I am now in doing, you know, the writing for my blog and coming to you over the airwaves, because I know that it's making a difference in somebody's life. If it just only touches one person, that's one person that I've touched today that didn't have a clue what was going on in relating to a particular subject, that didn't have that clue yesterday. You know, that's a blessing to me. You know, if it's one person at a time, you know, but that's one more person that is closer to a relationship, a better relationship with God and knowing who they are. So, you know, I'm thankful for that. So that, you know, that's the best advice that I can give you, is really look at learning who you are in the body of Christ. So
that's awesome,
that has really been key. And I think at this time, although our beloved Doc is not with us, we do have some summary points,
and we have some
practical solutions.
I can't wait to hear them.
And growth work that we can pass on to our listeners. So I think this would be a good time for us to do that. Some key points that we have from Doc is that, number one, one of the most important points about rejection is to understand and to know that feeling hurt, anger, and disappointment and letdown are normal feelings associated with being rejected. That's normal. You're going to feel that. But the important part of understanding that these feelings are normal is that you don't stay stuck in those feelings, okay? Don't get stuck in that. Move past it. Secondly, avoid, and I think you mentioned this, avoid personalizing rejection, okay? When you start to personalize rejection, that is the time when you begin to create negative thoughts, such as thinking, I'm not adequate enough, I'm no good, and I don't deserve nice things. Don't take it personal, okay? Learn to separate the person from the opinion, okay? You are not rejection. Understand that. You are not rejection. Rejection is something that has happened to you, okay? Thirdly, understand that you should not see yourself as rejection, and I've repeated that again because it's important and it's key. When you don't understand and process these negative feelings, then you start to give off, guess what? You'll start to give off negative energy of rejection, and then the one thing that you don't want will start to happen to you. You give off energy that you want to be rejected, okay? Then surround yourself with positive people and activities when you are experiencing feelings of rejection. In doing so, this can be a positive morale booster, okay? You have to know and identify those people in your lives who are positive for you. Okay, you have to know a reason, like I said, a reason and a season. Know who those people are. You cannot go to everybody with everything. Okay, so identify those positive people in your life. Then reflect on past successes. There has to be something in your life that you've done right. Focus on that. Okay, this helps to keep your mind focused on positive things rather than on negative. Then use healthy coping strategies that can strengthen your emotions and physical being. And examples of this is, I love to run, and I've mentioned that. I use that as a stress reliever, okay, and also for my health. Hobbies are also great to take your mind off things. Also, get a restful and peaceful night's sleep. Turn the TV off, okay, go to sleep. And also, eat a healthy and balanced diet. okay? All of those are key. Those are healthy coping strategies that you can use. And our scripture for tonight is Psalms 34, verses 17 through 18, and it reads, "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." And I wanted to add just one more scripture, because it's funny, because this morning the scripture for today for me was Acts 4, 11 through 12, and it related to our subject matter tonight, so I thought I'd share it with you. And I read, "Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." And when I looked at that to see what that actually meant, the cornerstone is no ordinary stone. It is that fundamental stone that structurally holds an entire building together. And if you remove that, the building would fall apart. So Jesus is that stone that holds us together, okay? Now, your growth work is to identify if you are experiencing any feelings of rejection in your life and begin to take healthy steps towards healing. So that's a lot of food for thought tonight. And as we get ready to close out yet another great show, Melody, I want to remind those of you listening, please mark your calendars to tune in for our special Father's Day episode next week on June 18th, and I will be joined by special guest co-host, our contributing pastor, Dwayne Johnson Sr. of Lifestyle Christian Church. Remember also that we have our book club selection, Room of Marvels by James Brian Smith, so you can continue to join us with that. And in July, we will be starting our There is Life After Layoff summer series, and we want you to tune in starting on July 2nd for that. We will be talking about a very important issue regarding our summer food programs for our children. We remind you, if you like what you hear, please visit our website and listen to recordings of past shows, as well as please post a comment. If you're on Facebook, please friend us at Atlanta Life Radio, and make sure that you plan to tune in next Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. on Atlanta Life Radio at www.atlantaliferadio.com. And we will continue our discussion. And if you want to tweet a question or concern that you want addressed, please do so at Allie Ward 45, and also to Atlanta Life Radio at ALR Radio. And
Allie, before you take us out, I just want to say thank you. I enjoyed the conversation on air with
thank
you tonight.
Thank you. Thank you for joining me tonight, Mel D. And on behalf of myself and Mel D tonight, and, of course, for our beloved Doc who's listening, I'm hoping, we thank you for joining us, and we continue to urge you to be encouraged. And, yes, although it may be hard to walk away from something, especially when you don't know what you're walking towards, just know that when God is in it, all things are possible and new. Continue to join us on this journey. Take a leap of faith past the fear in your life. Know that the bigger the obstacle, the bigger the blessing. But most of all, remember, there is life after layoff. Thank you. And
failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too. If you didn't know the pain of life, wouldn't know the joy of life and how God always brings you through. For complaining, just look at this, it's just training to be ready, what God has for you. Tell yourself,
I'm not giving up.
No,
I'm not giving
in you, Lord, I have my faith in. Even when it seems
hopeless,
when you look, that's when your breakthrough will begin. Failure.
Known has come from you alone.